You're listening to the Qalam Podcast, Ramadan Reflections by Mufti Hussain Kamani. This summer, Mufti Hussain will be teaching the Hadith Intensive. Students will study the different methods of compilation and preservation of a Hadith, the major role female scholars have played in Hadith preservation, the biography of famous Hadith narrators, as well as different Ahadith collections and excerpts from famous Hadith texts like Sahih al-Bukhari. For more information, visit hadithintensive.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى خصوصا على سيد الرسل وخاتم الأنبياء وعلى آله الأسكياء وأصحابه الأتقياء أما بعد. There are very few things in this world that are certain. Some things we view them to be certain that we will definitely achieve this. But the reality is that's just the way we perceive it. Their certainty in itself is not certain. The one thing that is without doubt certain that every human being will accept, regardless of their faith, which part of the world they live in, or which language they speak, that certainty is so clear that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not mentions its reality, its truth once in the Quran, but multiple times. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings one particular verse three times in the Quran, an identical verse, addressing that issue again and again and again, reminding us that as certain as it is, even when you're reading the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, don't forget this thing. And what is that? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, كُلُّ نَفْسٍ ذَائِقَةُ الْمَوْتِ. Every human being is going to leave this world. Don't let this world make a promise to you that it's certain. Because that's how we view it as human beings. That everything in this world is real, and everything in this world is everlasting, and everything that I can touch and I can interact with in this world is the end goal, the end game. This is yaqeen. This is not yaqeen. What you have in the world in front of you is something that's temporary. If you're looking for certainty, then know that certainty and haqq, the ultimate eternal certainty, is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prepared for you in the hereafter, depending on what you do in this world. Depending on how you live in this world. There is no doubt when a person goes to sleep that they are sure that I'm going to wake up. You know, for the one who Allah has written life for. It's like when you go to sleep, no one's expecting to sleep for 10 days straight. No one is expecting to sleep for 3 days sleep, 3 days straight. You tell yourself, I'll go to sleep. If their alarm wakes me up, I'll wake up 6 hours from now. If their alarm doesn't wake me up, I'll wake up 8 hours from now. But I know I'm going to wake up. When we're fasting, we know that iftar time is going to come. You know, in a few hours now, iftar time will come, I'll have my iftar. Just as we know with certainty that our day will end or our day will start, or as we know food will be delivered to us, we'll walk through the door and meet our children. We need to understand that death has that very same certainty. And the thing with death is that it will come to you regardless if you want to go to it or not. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says regarding this in the Quran, أَيْنَمَا تَكُونُوا يُدْرِكُمُ الْمَوْتِ وَلَوْ كُنْتُمْ فِي بُرُوجٍ مُشَيَّدًا. Wherever you are, death will come to you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who has ability over his servants. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has full control over his servants. وَهُوَ الْقَاهِرُ فَوْقَ عِبَادِهِ وَيُرْسِلُ عَلَيْكُمُ الْحَفَظَةَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has appointed angels who are our guards as well. But at the same time, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands them, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives them the command that take the soul, right? تَوَفَّتْهُ رُسُولَنَا وَهُمْ لَا يُفَرِّتُونَ. The angels extract the soul from that person, and that person can do nothing about it. ثُمَّ رُدُّوا إِلَى اللَّهِ مَوْلَاهُمُ الْحَقِّ. And every single person sitting here will have to part with their body because the body was a vehicle given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Our souls were created before we entered this body, and our souls will continue to live even after we leave this body. In the hereafter, for those who do good, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give them bodies that will be suitable, honorable, and beautiful to enter into the gardens of Jannah. And for those who do bad, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give them a body that will give them a very crucial experience of the punishment of the fire of hell. Don't dedicate your life to serving the vehicle. Know that more than the vehicle is a spirit that's actually making the journey, the ruh that's actually making that journey. And it's that ruh that we need to make sure we nourish. That's what the month of Ramadan is about. It's about spiritually nourishing yourself. Maybe physically starving ourselves. Why are we physically starving ourselves? To spiritually nourish ourselves. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ, so you may gain taqwa, so you may gain God consciousness. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam again and again told the companions that never forget death. أَكْثِرُوا ذِكْرَ هَذِمِ اللَّذَّاتِ. Remember abundantly the thing that will crush your desires. It's like someone who goes to buy a nice expensive car. They have their car that they can drive and that takes care of their needs. But they think, you know what, let me live a little extra. Let me enjoy the luxury a little bit. Let me treat myself. Let me treat myself in the dunya. And when you go to buy that car, it's as if the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying, remind yourself, أَكْثِرُوا ذِكْرَ هَذِمِ اللَّذَّاتِ. Remind yourself of the thing that will crush all of your desires. Because no matter how expensive your car is, one day either it'll leave you or you will have to leave it. One of the two is going to have to walk away. Is it really important for you to make such an investment into something? Make payments and payments for years and years to come for a house that ultimately you're going to leave. Someone else will take it. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in a narration that when a person passes away, يَتْبَعُ الْمَيِّتِ ثَلَاثٌ فَيَرْجِعُ اثْنَانٌ وَيَبْقَى مَعَهُ وَاحِدٌ يَتْبَعُهُ أَهْلُهُ وَمَالُهُ وَعَمَلُهُ فَيَرْجِعُ أَهْلُهُ وَمَالُهُ وَيَبْقَى عَمَلُهُ. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, when a person passes away, three things follow that person. Out of them, two things stay behind, and one thing follows that person all the way through. The three things that follow that person are that person's family, your wealth, and your good deeds. The two things that will surely return, your family will leave you behind in that grave. Believe it or not, I was once at a janazah, I'll never forget this was in Chicago. I was once at a janazah salah, a young friend of mine, rahimahullah, he passed away. He had a bike accident on Lakeshore in Chicago. He had a bike accident, he flew off his bike, instantly fell, he passed away. He was my age. When the time came for his janazah, I still remember that we just finished off his burial, his parents were crying, they lost a son who was in his early 20s. Someone's calling me. They lost their son who was in their early 20s. And we finished off the burial, we were leaving, the father came to me and he was crying. I said, "Uncle, what happened?" He said, "My son over there, can you please have a word with him?" And I saw the other son, he was sitting by his brother's grave. He was taking his finger and he was twirling it in the ground. And I said to him, "What happened?" He said, "Sheikh, I just want to hug my brother one last time." And I said, this is exactly what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us. That when we have those that we love, we don't honor them. And when they're gone, we think about the moments that we lost. And what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us, and this is the part of the hadith that I reminded him, that ultimately every one of your family members will leave you. They're going to have to go back home. Invest in your family members. Give them hidayah. Give them guidance. Be someone in their life. But remember that even your own spouse and your children can sometimes be a test from Allah where they distract you from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Your own children can be those people. Your own spouse where you think, I'm trying to make things right for them. And I'm not saying you should neglect your kids in any way at all. That in itself is a violation of Islam. But I'm talking about people who are constantly concerned about their kids at the cost of losing their personal relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I'll give you an example. A father who says that, you know what, I'm so concerned about my child going to their kumon or going to their karate class or their taekwondo class, whatever it is, or a mother having that concern. And while they're taking them there, bringing them back, while they think they're serving their child, at the same time, the child is missing his salah, the parents are missing their salah. What kind of relationship is this? Every relationship we have should ultimately prepare us for our ultimate relationship, the greatest relationship, the relationship that we are bound by, because the Quran tells us that this was the purpose of our creation. And that relationship is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That relationship is of ubudiyah, that we are servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The month of Ramadan should remind us, and let it remind us very clearly that this world and everything in it will ultimately come to an end. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam very beautifully recited the ayah of the Quran to us, kullu man alayha fan. Everything in this world will perish. Every person to your right, every person to your left. One by one, each person here will leave. The scholars, they say, prepare for your death. And make dua to Allah in these blessed nights. Ya Allah, give me death on iman. Say ameen. Oh Allah, let us die with the last words on our tongue being La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah. Ya Allah, let us die in the world in a state that our hearts are pleased with you and you are pleased with us. Ya Allah, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in one beautiful narration, he said, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam finished off burying a particular companion, Jabir radiallahu anhu says that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, one day he was at home, and this was before the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed away. And he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لَا يَمُوتَنَّ أَحَدُكُمْ إِلَّا وَهُوَ يُحْسِنُ بِاللَّهِ الظَّنِّ. That none of you should leave the world until you make sure your perception, your thought of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, your dhan of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is positive. That you have a good, positive, strong, merciful relationship with Allah. And I say merciful because thinking of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, يُحْسِنُ الظَّنِّ بِاللَّهِ, that you have good thought with your Creator, with your Allah. However, the scholars do say, even though this is not in a hadith, but the scholars, they say there are certain actions that by doing these actions, it is very likely from their observations they're sharing that we've seen people who do these actions, they die with su'ul khatima. Su'ul khatima means that their death is a disliked death, not something praiseworthy or honorable. What are those four things? The first thing they say is uququl walidain. A person who is disobedient to their parents. Very rarely have we seen that a person who swears at their parents, speaks back to their parents, physically hits their parents, and believe it or not, this is actually a thing. Right? Those who do these sort of things don't realize what they're doing and how they're destroying their akhirah, and how the doors of Jannah are possibly being closed on them. And that's a discussion in its own. Uququl walidain, being disobedient to your parents, is one of those things that leads a person to su'ul khatima. The second thing the scholars, they say, is to be light, to be careless when it comes to salah, tahawun bis salah. To be careless when it comes to salah. It'll happen if it happens, not giving the attention. If you do not make your ihtimam, you do not make your concern, going out of your way preparing for salah, remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you don't remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then remember that what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, نَسُوا اللَّهَ فَنَسِيَهُمْ. They forgot Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in their times of need, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's assistance, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy did not come to them. The third thing the scholars, they say, is shurb al-khamr, which means to drink alcohol and intoxicating oneself. This is a major sin. And out of all the sins, the effect that intoxicants have on human beings is very unique because it's not only one, it's not just a personal impact. Intoxications are such that every human being has a desire to some point to run away from their pains in life. And what better way to run away from your pains in life than to take something that intoxicates you? Instead of standing up to your pains in life, looking at it in the eye and saying that you are what brings me down and I will turn you around and I'll make sure I fix it. When a person starts using intoxicants, they become addicted to it. Their life gets flushed down. And with their life getting flushed down, the people around them, who they are responsible of, their lives also get flushed down. And when this becomes a communal issue, you have a whole generation whose lives are literally being flushed down. Literally being flushed down. Last year, I got a phone call from a young man. Young man, Hafidh al-Qur'an. Allah protect me for even saying this. I don't say this in any way disrespecting that Hafidh. But just showing the state, even the young children in our community who have memorized the Qur'an, their state is such that they are spiritually destroyed. Because memorizing the Qur'an, this is a whole different issue, but memorizing the Qur'an in our community is something that people do as a parrot. They memorize it without knowing at all what they're actually reading. There's no spiritual development in the process. This young man called me. He said to me right now that something really bad happened. I said, what happened? He said, well, there's a person in front of me who just overdosed on heroin. I said, why are you calling me? I can't help you. I'm in another part of the country. Why don't you call 911? He said, I did. They're coming here right now. So later on, I spoke to this person. He said that the ambulance came. They injected him, took him to the hospital, revived him. This young man, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him another chance at life. He woke up, came back to the very same place where his buddy was still sitting, this other guy, Hafiz guy, shooting himself up. He came back right to this place, and he said, I don't know why you called the ambulance, you should have let me die. He then overdosed a second time, and this time he actually died. And I had to go stand in front of his four kids, and his convert wife. And she's looking at me, and I'm looking at her. And I had nothing to say. I just said to her, if you give me permission, I'd like to take your kids out to get some donuts for them. It'll make them happy today. I'm sure they're very sad that they lost their father. And I took them out of the house for a little bit. But other than that, this is what happens when people are intoxicated. This is the sort of effect it has. Go and ask a wife whose husband's who intoxicates himself. Go and ask a parent whose child is constantly drinking away, or a child whose father is constantly drinking away. They are destroyed. And our minbars are not addressing this issue. We as community leaders, and I speak to myself first, and as a community, we're not addressing these issues. Because we're too afraid. We feel like it's taboo. I have parents coming and telling me, last time I talked about marijuana in a community, one parent came and told me that, why are you talking about things that don't relate to the community? Nobody smokes marijuana. I said, where do you live? Are you kidding me? Like, the people that I know, they're eating this stuff in their brownies. They're dipping it in their tea and they're like, you know, they're pulling it out of their pocket and in jelly form and they're just doing it. They have lip balm that looks like that's marijuana. Like, name a thing for me and there's probably a marijuana substitute for it. And you're telling me it's not a major issue? Are you kidding me? These are problems that we have in our community. And we have to remember, in the month of Ramadan, this is a time for us to spiritually change. This is a time for us to cry in front of Allah. Go through your rehab, seek assistance, but ultimately know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is muqallib al-qulub. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who? He turns the hearts. You need to ask Allah, Ya Allah, give me tawfiq. Ya Allah, give me hidayah. Ya Allah, the hearts that are plagued with these intoxicants, remove them from us. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Al-khamru jumma'ul ithm. That intoxicants are the roots of all sins. Once a person is intoxicated, once they get started, then all the other sins, one by one, you name it, zina is on the list. You name it, stealing is on the list. You name it, fraud is on the list. You name it, lying is on the list. And then they lie and lie and lie so much that their own family members are saying that we don't know if we can trust our relative. If you have someone who was struggling, don't become angry at them. Know that shaitan has taken benefit of them. Shaitan has used them. Now you are responsible. Take the responsibility on yourself to help them to get to rehab. Help them to get to people who can help them. Encourage them. Be patient. Walking away from someone who's already on the ground is just too easy. That's not what I'm asking here today. What I'm asking you is that if you know someone that's struggling, stand by their side. Because one day they are going to pass away. And if you can be by their side to bring some light, bring some guidance in their heart, maybe they'll pass away with hidayah, inshallah al-aziz. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive you bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will shower His mercy upon you. And the fourth thing the scholars are saying is causing harm to other believers. When we see people who are so careless about other human beings that all they care about is themselves, and they cause harm to people by cheating them, by harming them in any way, and there's, you know, a million, probably an infinite number of ways that human beings plan and scheme to harm one another. When this becomes your thought, that let me just be the one who gains, let me be the one who gains, forget everyone else, forget everyone else's benefit. When that when you reach that state that you do not care for the creation of Allah, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also has no creation, no care for you. And this is actually established in the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where he sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Al-khalqu 'iyalullah, fa habbul khalqi ila Allah man ahsana ila 'iyali." That the creation are like a pillar, a family of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the most beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's creation is the one who takes care of the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if you look at the mafhum mukhalif, the reverse meaning of this hadith, what you learn is that the one who is abusive to the creation of Allah is the furthest and the most distant from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There are many more actions that can be listed amongst those that take a person away from iman and can lead to a death that is not pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I listed these four to give us all that reminder so that we may take these things seriously and ultimately make dua to Allah that, Ya Allah, make the last moments of our life the best moments of our life. Ya Allah, make the best day of our life the day we stand in front of you. Ya Allah, make the most pleasurable moments of our life the moment you give us our book of deeds. Ilaha al-alameen, do not let us leave this world, but in a state that you are pleased with us and we are pleased with you. You are content with us, we are content with you. You've given us good deeds to present in front of you on the day of judgment. Ilaha al-alameen, give us death with the kalima la ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah. Give us the burial of Baqi'ul Gharqad, the graveyard of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Let us be resurrected in the company of the pious, righteous companions and the prophets, and allow us first entry into paradise without any accountability at all in the company of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Wa sallallahu ta'ala ala sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin walhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh.